Here we are, Palm Sunday, the beginning of one of the most eventful weeks in all of history. I want to begin with inviting you to join me in prayer. Loving Father, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, as this week begins, we thank you for your very presence with us, for your love, for your care, for the ultimate sacrifice that gives us a future. God, we pray and thank you for all of those. And God, I just ask that you would take this message today, that you would say exactly what you once said, that even if I misspeak, what is heard is exactly what you want for each one. And God, I just pray that the message will resonate as you desire, and as you lay it out, in Christ's name, amen. Loving humility is the title, and as we go through this message, think about what that might mean to you. Loving humility. As we've talked about, today is Palm Sunday, and it can also be referred to as Passion Sunday. Jesus coming into Jerusalem and the crowd shouting, laying down palm leaves. Just picture the excitement, the passion that was people that were there, that they were happy, they were cheering, they were excited. That's where we start today. We often focus on the crowd's adulation of Jesus and his fulfillment of prophecy, riding into Jerusalem on a donkey's colt. Adulation, synonym for that would be hero worship. We often focus on the crowd's hero worship because they were looking at, he was a hero that was going to save them, that was going to throw out the Romans, and he was going to restore what they felt was their place. That's the backdrop of where this day begins. Today, we will read about Jesus' mindset as he approached Holy Week. He chose to sacrifice himself to show that his choice was the truest expression of divine love and radical identification with our humanity. He chose us. And he chose the only way that there would be a future, us. Realize, though, Jesus wasn't a victim. It was his choice to go here. I'm going to read, and you're going to find this a little interesting, possibly, The Gift of Magi, written by William Sidney Porter. It's a fitting story for Holy Week. It's a story of love's sacrifice. And it's actually a Christmas story. Picture as I go through this. On Christmas Eve, Della Young needed to buy a gift for her beloved husband, Jim. But she only had $1.87. This story is dated back to the early 1900s. In today's dollars, about $62 in today's economy. That's what she had. She had beautiful, long brown hair that she was very proud of. But because she needed the money for Jim's gift, she went to a nearby hairdresser who cut her beautiful hair off and bought it for $20, or about $700 in today's money. Sporting a new pixie haircut, Della spent the afternoon looking for the perfect gift for Jim. He had an heirloom watch from his grandfather that he treasured. But she noticed its leather band was worn, and he had kept it in his pocket so he didn't lose it. She found a gold watch chain, one that looked like it was made for Jim's watch. It cost $21. She went home to prepare their meal with 87 cents in her pocket. When Jim arrived home, he stared at her, surprised to see her short hair. Della quickly explained how she wanted to give him a special gift, that she sacrificed her hair to buy the watch chain. Jim pulled a package from inside his coat and gave it to Della. Inside it were two beautiful, bejeweled hair combs that she had often admired in the shop window, but knew they could never afford. "How did you ever afford them, Jim?" she asked. "I sold my watch, Della." And the story ends with this. Each sold the most valuable thing they owned to buy a gift for another. Of all who gives gifts, these two were the most wise. As we think about the gift that was given, theologian and author Frederick Buechner wrote, "To sacrifice something is to make it holy by giving it away for love." Today we're going to look at four distinctions from today's text, Philippians 2, 5 through 11. The first distinction is Christ in us. As we think about that, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. If we go back, the word "was" that is translated "was" in this scripture was not in the Greek, not in the original. But a better term to use is "you have." According to Christ's mind, you know, already in us. So let the same mind be in you that you have in Christ Jesus. It's already there. It's available to you. His mind. Think about how this impacts our relationships, both in the church and with the world. You think about, if your mind is thinking with the mind of Christ, do your thoughts change? Do your approaches change? How about our words, the things we say? Do we say things that reflect Jesus? Because that's who we're thinking about. That's who we're relying on to guide our thoughts. How about our focus? Is our focus inward or outward? All things change if we use and rely on the mind of Christ in us. Will we live perfect lives? No. Pretty confident in saying that. But will we make a difference? Will Jesus make a difference in our life? I believe so. The second distinction, no grasping. And this comes from verses 6 and 7. Traditionally, verses 6 and 7 have been used to encourage believers to practice humility. We're going to go in verse 6. "Who, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped." A different term for grasp may be grabbed. Did not regard equality with God as something to be grabbed, taken. "But he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, assuming human likeness." Jesus didn't hold on to his divine rights. That would be incredibly difficult if you are in a position of authority or in a position to make some big decisions that impact lots of people. Or maybe you are considered royalty. In this country, we don't look at that so much as other parts of the world. But certainly this week, you would have not missed the video and the dialogue of the princess in England, the royalty of cancer that she is now sharing. But we don't have that. But he had that authority. He had that, and he stepped away from it. He didn't hold on to his divine rights. You know, as we saw in the opening story with Della and Jim, they held to the material things that they treasured. That's what they went to. They wanted to give the most treasured thing they could think of. but it was love that motivated the sacrifice of the lesser treasure. Jesus took on humanity. Jesus became human. Did he stop being God? No. But he did not carry those blessings, those rights, those things that he had. He stepped away and became human. Sacrifice has an expression of love, the third distinction. Despite taking on our humanity, Jesus remained God. And in doing so, his life and death did not reflect a dismissal of his divine nature. He was always God. He still is. He has always been God. Jesus' humility, obedience, and willingness to sacrifice show us the best and the most truthful expression of God and God's love. Humility, to be humble. Each one of us can understand that. Each one of us have expressed humility, have lived in a humble, but it's not where we routinely go all the time. Obedience. Jesus lived in obedience. Completely obedient to what his Father's desires were for him. And a willingness to sacrifice, knowing that it would be difficult. He knew what was coming, and he didn't walk away. He didn't turn. He accepted what his Father was requiring, that he was part of the plan, and he stepped into it. Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a human, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. I can't imagine what that those days as it come. You know, I've thought about God in his mercy doesn't let us know when our last day would be. Can you imagine if you knew that 10 years from now on Palm Sunday would be your last day? Okay, you go, I got 10 more years. 9 years later, you're at, I only have a year left. What do I do? And as each day became closer to that, it would be horrible as a human. Jesus knew what day, and he embraced. He knew what was coming. Verse 8 talks about Jesus and his surrender to humanity's hate, absorbing our selfishness and the pain of separation from God. Those are our human traits. But he knew what they were, and he embraced. He didn't let those become him or consume him. In today's Revised Common Lectionary readings, as I've talked about before, they typically have four scriptures: a gospel, usually an epistle, or another New Testament portion, an Old Testament scripture, and a scripture from Psalms. And in today's RCL, the Psalm scripture comes from Psalms 31:13. For I hear the whispering of many, terror all around, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. This was his week. This was what was coming in his week. And it's pictured in Psalms. David portrayed the very fact of what was coming. The Old Testament section comes from Isaiah, and there is a section in Isaiah that they are referred to poems. The scripture's little segments are different poems. Now, I start up here with 50 and verse 6, but I want to back up to verse 5 and then read 6. The cord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. He didn't turn away. He stood and accepted what was happening to him. He knew the outcome. On this Palm Sunday, we are reminded that the same crowd who gladly cheered, "Hosanna," also were the ones who shouted, "Crucify him," a few days later. In a week's time, the difference of joyful, gladding, wonderful, welcoming to killing. Be done with him. In 1 week, we have experienced some of the same emotions. We have lived in this human world. We have highs and we have lows. And sometimes those lows are really big, and sometimes the highs. And amazingly enough, a lot of times those highs and lows come back to back. And it is hard to process as a human. Think about that crowd in a week's time. They were humans, just like we are. Would we have been a part of the cheering and also part of the crucifying? We are capable of the same mindset because we know what grief, loss, disappointment, injustice, and anger feel like. When you've gone through a week that is full of grief from loss of some event that's happened, maybe disappointment when things didn't work out, or that you were so hopeful for and it didn't happen. Injustice. This past week, I've talked to a couple of people that were sharing their frustration with the court systems, either through the loss of their child taken by the court or a number of other events that I won't even mention. And on the surface, it sure sounds injustice. And there is anger that comes from that. There's pain. That's the human life. By studying Jesus' betrayal, we can see how Christ in us, the hope of glory, and that comes from Colossians 1:27, can help us live. I challenge you this week, every day, to let Christ in us come to the surface. Ask him to help you to bring him to the surface. Because we live with uncertainties and suffering as a part of our human life. We know something that Palm Sunday crowd didn't know. Anybody guess what that might be? When we suffer, God is not far from us. Here's the one. We are never alone. In the midst of whatever you're dealing with, you're not alone. Hold on to the fact that Jesus is in you. His mind is right there readily to work and help you. Ask him to be a part of your world. The fourth distinction is a new name. Verses 9 through 11 contain God's response to Jesus' holy sacrifice for love. Therefore, God exalted him even more highly and gave him the name that is above every other name, so that the name given to Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. One of the commentaries said the speculation that new name is Lord, which contains all power and authority over everyone, everything, every creation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9 talks about Jesus being renamed, given the name that is above every other name. It's just not without precedence. In the Old Testament, Abram became Abraham. his name changed to reflect what he was doing and what God had placed him in. Jacob became Israel. Name changed. And within that name change, their lives reflected that change. Holy Week is our opportunity to see the full expression of God's love through Jesus. From our beginning story about Dalla and Jim, we learned what was their truest gift. The real gift was an understanding of how much they loved each other, proven by their willingness to sacrifice their most prized possession. As you pray each day this week, ask God to show you his love and direction for you. Or do we want to live without that? Isn't it better to follow God and allow him to lead us? I personally think so. But as the story from Della and Jim, their greatest gift, their greatest sacrifice was their most prized possession. Jesus gave us himself. As you begin Holy Week, consider how often we grab what we think we deserve. And that doesn't mean that you didn't deserve it, but do we jump the gun and take the opportunity to grab? Because this is mine. This is what I deserve. Beware of your ego and drive to compete. You may say, well, I'm not very competitive. You're human. And at some point in the system, you compete. And you compete hard because you don't want to lose. None of us want to lose. Think about how you can communicate love to others. That comes into the term relationships. How can you show love this week to someone? We all have the same number of minutes and seconds and hours in this week. Everybody in here has the same. We assume that we will all still be here Friday or Saturday and next Sunday for Easter. So we have the same time. We live in different places. We interact with different people. How can you show love to those that you interact with? I don't have the answer for you. I ask God to show me, and I trust that he will. If you would join me in prayer. Loving Father, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, God, for your triune unity of love and the desire to bring us into your very throne to be there. God, for your sacrifice of Jesus on this earth and his week this week of what that looks like. But God, we know the outcome. We know the victory. And God, we are included. And thank you for that. God, help each one of us as we process each day, and that we can look to you and know that we are never alone. You are always with us. In Jesus' name, amen. We come now to the Lord's table, communion. Here at Grace Communion, there are no restrictions. There are opportunities. No matter what the circumstances, we're still included. Know that. And as we come to the table, there are no restrictions. Everybody is welcome because God loves everyone. I want to read a few verses, beginning in John 6, 53 through 58. So Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Verse 57. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which the ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. Jesus paid the price, the ultimate price, for each one of us. His body and his blood are represented through the bread and the fruit of the vine at the table. And he said, come, eat, remember me. The table was ready. Let's remember Jesus and the gift that he has given us. Father God, once again, we thank you for the elements at the table. We do ask that you would bless them, that you would give us a remembrance of Jesus, and know that you are with us always, that even in the midst of every day's ups and downs, you're right there. And God, I just thank you, and I do ask that you would bless this communion meal. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you that Jesus came humbly, riding on a donkey, proclaiming peace. We thank you that he willingly paid the ultimate price to give us salvation. Help us to live this week having the mindset of Christ. Amen. And from Revelations 1, 5, and 6, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I'd like to invite you to join us again next Sunday to celebrate Jesus' resurrection. Have a great week.